All right, the minutes are approved. We're moving on to public comment. We got one thing done in our little squeezy time. Where is the public comment sign up?
Yeah.
May I take a minute to introduce myself?
Yeah, we have a minute right now, exactly a minute.
My name is V. Patel Adams. I'm from the Indie Media Show. I actually mostly wanted to take this time. The reason I came to this meeting was to speak in public comment in support of Gossip Canal. I know that the new executive director is here. Thank you for coming. I've heard good things about you, and I really appreciate you coming. But I really came to support Dr. Canal in public comment and to speak in favor of him. He did a lot of great stuff while he was manager, and he was unfortunately unilaterally fired by Bill Crozier. He deserves his job back, and he should get it back. He was doing really amazing things, and I don't want to take up too much time, Casey, but I was also wondering, people have requested that weren't able to come, if we could live stream public comment. I was wondering if it's okay if I do that.
No,
it's a public meeting.
Point of order.
Yes.
Jim Krafka is again speaking without being recognized. He is out of order.
That's your second warning, Jim. Please stay in order. Yes.
Is that telephonic participation?
They're not participating. It's just a recording of the meeting, Jim. A stream is a video.
What are they using?
A stream is a video for other people to watch the meeting.
Using a phone?
Whatever device.
Using a phone.
Anything
okay.
With the
so
case.
It's not telephonic.
Okay. I have 12 speakers and 30 minutes. Can someone help me with that? 30 divided by 12.
Two and a half.
All right. We'll do 2.5. I'm going to go in order because I forgot my magic cards to mix y'all up. No, some of you hate that. We'll have Greg Audell and then, Venetia, I'll take you off. So actually, we have 11, so we'll do 2.5. Okay, great.
Point of information.
Yes.
Have we gotten the email addresses of all the people who wish to give them to us for public comment?
I have not because it wasn't on the sign up sheet that you
got here late.
Yes. Go ahead.
If you wish to review my summary of your comments before I put them in the minutes, please provide me with your email address so I can send those comments to you.
You can also fill out the cards there with your exact words, and Ted will just copy and paste
You've
them.
Got my email, but I trust Ted.
Okay.
I don't need to review them.
All right, Greg. And before we start this, because we have a lot of people speaking in public comment, let's remember as a board that this is public comment, not board comment. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for having us here today, and thank you for being here. I don't know what you know about the fiasco that's gone on KPFT for years. As most of you know, I was proud to work with Dr. Kamal. I volunteered at KPFT for years, and I saw a dying station filled with elderly white hippies that wanted elderly white hippie programming. When Dr. Kamal was put into place, there was a personal vendetta that I believe was that Bill Crozier felt his feet had been stepped on. I felt like there was racism. I said at the time I felt like racism was a part of it when the majority of the black staff was fired. And then what do I find out recently? Why was Larry? I assume everyone here knows why Larry Winters is no longer in his position. In my opinion, that is exactly what's the problem with KPFT. It's been a station for elderly white people, and they are holding their turf. And when there was this black guy that came in and had other black people coming in and getting their own programs, oh my God, you would think all hell broke loose. And Bill Crozier was going to do whatever he could do to fire it and clear house and get his cronies in there, and that's exactly what he did. If anyone wants to know more, you can see an hour-long program that we participated in, and I stand by everything I've ever said. Bill Crozier agreed to work out the arrangement. At the end of the day, he lied to everyone who participated and said, yes, he would work it out and bring Dr. Kamal back. The next day, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I think he is disgraceful. I think he's an embarrassment to the board. I think the station is going down the tubes because we are excluding the entire community that should be a part of this, whether someone's black, white, Indian, Chinese. We need everybody as part of this station. And if it continues to be the monopoly of the elderly white hippies, then the station needs to die because it's not serving the community anymore. And I pray that people will do what needs to be done to make this a community radio station like it should be in one of the most diverse cities in America. And so that's what I got to say. Thank you.
Under Dr. Kamal's managership, the programs and staff were, you know, were getting along actually well. He was bringing programs together and actually supporting them. And he should be KPTLC's general manager again. Also, he was fired by Bill, and without consulting anyone else. You know, his firing was completely unfair. I feel as us in the black community, as us in, you know, in a general aspect, all races, nominations can unite more under, if you don't mind speaking again, you know, Brother Kamal, under Brother Kamal, to bring more peace togetherness within our radio station, to bring more diversity, you know what I'm saying, to be able to fight forward and actually grow as a station and help heal, you know, the children and, you know, just continue to advance our minds and just elevate, you know, on a higher basis. Thank you all very much, and I'm here to support.
My name is Pat Hartwell, and I have spoken at every board meeting for maybe the last year and a half. I have spoken on racism. I have spoken on the need for coming together, and I have spoken against this racist man by the name of William Crozier. Every board meeting I speak against him. He has done everything he can to take over this station and take over Pacifica for the old white man. He put OBDK as a token. He sabotaged OBDK. He sabotaged the fundraising. And then he laughed about it. He kept Dwayne Bradley on the payroll and wouldn't tell anybody he was doing it to help sabotage. Until you get rid of this man, nothing will progress. Pacifica and KPFT need to go into the ground. Please put OBDK back in. He brought programming in. He brought people together. He was level-headed. And who does Bill replace him with? This racist Americana man who the next week he was in, we had to listen to, 15 hours of Americana music, which equals to racism. And until you get rid of the racism in the most diverse city in the U.S., we are in Houston, Texas. We're not in Bowduck something. We are in Houston, Texas, who has the most diverse population there is. And OBDK is the correct man for the job. Don Freeman may want the job, and unfortunately, Bill Crozier, and I hate to say it, he's picked Don as a token again. And tonight, you can listen to the board when they tried to put Patrick in. Patrick is their yes man. And if you get Patrick on this board, I can say one thing for William Crozier. He's a very manipulative, scheming person. He stops and thinks about what he's going to do 10 years down the line. From the fact that trying to steal the transmitter, I believe. And until you can get rid of the racism, it'll never go forward. Please put OBDK back in.
Thank you. Lisa? And then Brian.
Madam Chair, may I say something to you? If the Montrose Center is having trouble with our loud language, I would hope that we would all moderate our voices.
That's a good reminder. I think it's also a good reminder for us not to do side talk while someone is speaking because that forces them to raise their volume.
On the border.
Yes.
Can we add that minute and a half back? Public comment?
Okay.
Thank you.
Lisa?
Thank you. I'm going to do my best to speak my best. Last time I wrote a long letter and it was really well thought and professional, and I sent it to everybody, and I have barely heard back. I haven't heard back from anybody, actually. And, well, anyway, so I just want to say, just to kind of, you know, update everybody who hasn't been here and hasn't heard everything, we'll see if I can go back, try to make this fast.
Dwayne Bradley was our old manager. When I had a four-hour program, Night Sounds, for about 5 years on KPFT, one of the best programs, and don't need to be ahead, but it was. We did a phenomenal job. And I'm a sound engineer. I'm not just a DJ. I don't just talk, but I'm an engineer also. And I want to say that, you know, Bill, when Dwayne Bradley was the manager, he had his friend come in after me on another program, and he was not showing up for his program. So I had to stay later for my show. I stayed from 1 to 6 in the morning. I did that for a whole year straight without Dwayne Bradley ever finding somebody else to replace that show. Dr. Kamau was the only person that heard me when I said this was what's going on. My listeners are having a hard time finding those in the archives. My bands that are playing on the radio, they're having a hard time finding their music in the archives. So Dr. Kamau was the only one that took, saw this as important. So he changed that, and in the archives, and now Night Sounds became the show it was. Well, anyways, shortly after that, Dr. Kamau was fired. Very rudely, he was fired and escorted out by police. Not only was he let go, Tucker was let go. And yes, we're talking about racism. Tucker was also black. Chris was let go. Chris worked with Rhonda, who was also let go. Rhonda was really mean. She bullied me a lot, and I, addressed this to the board the first time. I wasn't even allowed to speak about Rhonda.
Rhonda Gardner.
And shortly after I was let go, right after Hurricane Harvey hit, shortly after a tumor was found in my neck, I had surgery. I had another recent procedure. More precancerous tumors have been found inside of me. I'm still here today. I'm not going to give up. I'm never going to give up. I have KPFT tattooed to my leg. Who else do you see has this? I'm not going to give up. So, Bill Crozier has been very, a very mean person. Everybody who's saying this is correct. Yes, the station is divided in two, but as you see, more people are really on the side of Dr. Kamau and really want, more respect back in the station. This is supposed to be free speech radio, and no gag orders on free speech.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you. I have Brian and then Alma.
Hello, everyone. My name is Brian. I do special projects and underwriting, and I work with Dr. Kamau. Really good experience, and I also work with John. I actually just came because I wanted to talk about some of the things that we're working on right now. We're doing studio renovations. If you've been by the studio, it looks really great. I think I was there for 16 hours working on it last night. This also goes into Rebuild KPFT, which is one of our new initiatives. I think we're doing a hashtag thing, and we're doing this whole part of Giving Tuesday. So please share the stuff that we're about to start posting, the videos we're making. Be really, really useful. Now that Larry has stepped down, we are back on underwriting, so we're moving up to about $6,000 now, which we had up to 15, and I hope we can get it back there. If you know anyone, any organizations that might be good for KPFT to partner with, email me, partner@kpft.org. And we're writing grants. So if you know anyone who's good at writing grants, email me at partner@kpft.org. Because grant writing team would be great. We did have one. And then they all left. And then, we have events. We're doing luncheon events, a luncheon. We're having like a rock and roll bake sale, a pop-up kitchen, and a whole bunch of other things. So I think December 4th, where's Teresa now? Okay, at some point. Oh, yes. December 4th, we're looking at doing an event meeting thing, so anyone interested, please come by, or I guess we can find a way to share that around, maybe?
Newsletter.
Yes. And then we're doing an art auction and a writing competition, so please email me, partner@kpft, and I'll put you to work, I'll get you to volunteer, I'll find a spot for you, and Don and I have come up with a lot of these ideas. Dr. Kamau and I have come up with some of these ideas, and that's all I have to say. Just be a lot of projects. There's a lot more, but I only have 10 seconds.
Thank you.
Alma and then Henry.
Yeah. My name is Alma. I'm a
co-host of Proyecto Latinoamericano. It's a show on Tuesday night, and it's in Spanish. And I don't come very often to news meetings because it's sad to see that after a year and a half, we are discussing the same issue, the firing of Dr. Kamal, which I, at that time I expressed my opinion that was wrong. And while the rest of the nation has been contaminated with racism, I think that KPFT has been contaminated as well. So I don't think that we should continue with this same issue, talking about, practicing racism when somebody is doing a good job. And I expressed my opinion about Dr. Kamal at 1 year and a half, that he, in his very short period of time performing, he did a great job. And I support him. I immediately introduced myself with him, and I say I support you. We're gonna do a good team. I don't know why this is happening, KPFT, because while some people for their actions are trying to destroy KPFT, I really don't know, but literally they're doing that. And when you fire someone in one position, you're gonna replace that person for another person better, right? That's the logic. Well, when Dr. Kamal was replaced by Larry, I don't need to say any personally against him, but his functioning as a manager was really bad. Really, really unprofessional. So just use your common sense. If you're gonna replace someone, it has to be better. Much, much better. Otherwise, just call that person back and return this his job. And I think that we have to stop this insanity. And it has to stop. I don't see people, I'm not supporting Dr. Kamal because he's black. I don't care. I see his character. Same thing, I don't support Latino people that are running for offices. I see they are traitor to the people or not. Same thing. Thank you, Dr. Romero.
Henry, and then you don't.
Hi, my name is Henry Cooper. I am the co-host of Proyecto Latinoamericano. We just went through a very contested midterm election, and it was something refreshing for me to see all the crowd that was around, and it wasn't coming from KPFT. I was thinking. but in a way, we are returning to the issues that who's going to be the next general manager of KPFT, and we need to be aware that what happened in the midterm election may happen also here. There, if we don't have clear what kind of future do we want to KPFT, we're going to be doing the same mistake over and over again. We need a capable person that will be a reflection of the city where KPFT is transmitting. And Houston is a very diverse city. It is the third largest city in the United States with a lot of political issues that is growing the same city. So we need someone that will be able to use KPFT in the benefit of the community, because we are a community registration. And we need someone that can be practical in connecting with all these different segments that reflects what the city is. I believe, for the time that I have known Mr. Kamal, Dr. Kamal, that he may be the best candidate to lead KPFT in this situation that we are facing. I know that there are other candidates. We don't know that much about them. We're supposed to have an open mind to learn about these other candidates, but I stick to my decision to support Dr. Kamal as the general manager, because I have worked with him. I know that we can have a good support on finding which direction we should go and to unify the most people that are approaching KPFD. About all the other trash that we have against other members of the board, former managers of the station, I don't want to go over there because it's going to be the same crap. We need to focus on the future that we want for KPFT in benefit of the community. And something that I just learned a few weeks ago is how the CIA works in order to dismember organizations. Man, things that I have seen over here scares me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me just take a few minutes. I cannot give many of you my background in 2.5 minutes. I'm good, but I'm not that good. Some of you know me, though, and know me well, because I have a 40-year history of public and professional work in this city. I applied for the general manager position of KPFT, and I did so because Pacifica and KPFT are, I think, two of the most vital institutions of progressive people in a progressive community can have. We really cannot afford the dysfunction or the loss of KPFT. I have a bachelor's and a master's in communications. I have 20 years of experience as a professional communicator in radio and television. I have 40 years of management experience and leadership development experience and training. I've written grants that total over $590,000, federal, state, and foundation grants. And maybe most importantly, I've worked at KPFT as a volunteer producer and programmer for 10, 15 years. I have been over Dike's friend for 10 or 15 years. We've worked together for more than 20 years, and we'll be friends. No matter what happens going forward, I will always be his friend. I would simply ask that KPFT follow the bylaws and procedures that you've established. I have followed them. Some of you that may not believe, give me a chance. I have been uniting people for over 30 years. I know how to bring broad and diverse constituencies together. I started in college when we formed the first Black-Brown coalition on the campus of the University of Texas at Austin. That was in 1970 and 71. I want to help bring all of the constituencies of Houston. KPFT ought to be the point of contact for all of the progressive constituencies in the city. We can do more. KPFT is not broken. It may be a little scuffed up, but there's more good going on here than not. And I want to help KPFT be a fresh start, be a servant to the board and to the executive director and Pacifica bylaws to take KPFT on higher. Thank you very much.
Madam Chairman, thank you for having me again. I was recently emailed by Ted in reference to a statement I had made in public comment at my last year at the meeting, that we have fallen short by $17,000 on a fund drive. I did not know that I had made that, you know, that amount of money or saved that amount of money. But if I did, I'd probably apologize to the board and I will amend my statement. My second reason here tonight is that I'm noticing that this board is progressing and the station needs progress. The station needs more leadership, more ability to work together as a team. Everybody in this room bleeds the same color red. Doesn't matter what race, color, or creed you are. And I firmly believe in working together as a team. So I am endorsing myself, the doctor here, and hopefully he will be able to come back to the station. Whoever best qualified for the job needs to be in the job. I thank you, and you have a good evening.
Teresa Allen and then Sam. want to say it's just inappropriate to attribute motive and feelings to a person. Telling people that Bill Crozier is scheming and manipulative and attributing motives to him is inappropriate. He made a personnel decision, and he obviously cannot discuss the reasons for his personnel decision. And to say, oh, well, you won't reveal it to us, therefore you must be scheming and racist and manipulative, is inappropriate. I've never been told the reason why he made that decision, but he discussed it, I believe, with the PNB at the time, and he was interim executive director, so it's not my place to find out and to confront him and attribute motives to him. I do want to say that it was very contentious when Dwayne Bradley left, and there were people that came, and they were very angry when our program director left. And at that time, we had 11 and a half employees. And I remember specifically a couple coming up in public comment, very angry at Dwayne and very angry at the station, saying, we need a black programmer. Well, at the time, we had an African-American male receptionist administrator, an African-American female business manager, probably the highest paid person we had, African-American male membership director, African-American female news director, part-time engineer Asian-American, program director who was Hispanic, and he was leaving, and in my opinion, the reason why that position wasn't filled was because we were told there was going to be some sort of moratorium on hiring. Our development director was an African-American female. We had a white general manager. We had a part-time membership assistant. We had a gay Caucasian engineer on contract, on call. And we had a Caucasian male, a music programmer that was part-time. So, I mean, of the 11 and a half employees, like 3 and a half were white. So I just have to say, you cannot mess with the facts. And to claim racism in that instance, I think was inappropriate.
Thank you. Sam and then Nick.
Hi, my name's Sam. I'm a local independent journalist. I've been in and out of KPFT since early 2016. I came towards the end of Dwayne's tenure and met with OBDK to discuss news stuff, how we could improve the news, actually report Houston news, not regurgitate Times or Houston Chronicle or whatever. OBDK handed me off to Tucker, and Tucker ignored me. So there's that. And then I tried to come back in and out, but it never really worked out. You guys are advocating for OBDK to come back, and I understand. He was great. I saw from afar that he was awesome. But still, here we are, and we fail to acknowledge that we have Don. In the last couple of weeks since I've come back to KPFT, because I poke in periodically like, hey, can I talk about how the Waltons are funding HISD? Can I talk about how Valero is illegally releasing hydrogen cyanide into Manchester neighborhood? No, not yet? Okay, fine. But Don is like, hey, Sam, you got skills. Come expand our digital media presence. Hey, our studio needs to be redone. And what's he doing? He's doing it. In my time in and out of KPFT in the last 2 years, this is the first time that I've given any speck of hope that I'll be able to report Houston news, not regurgitate the Houston Chronicle, which spews out propaganda repeatedly, not regurgitate Time magazine that's funded by war profiteers, but to actually report Houston news. First time ever. OBDK, awesome, yes, but I would also appreciate someone who knows technology very well. So, sorry, OBDK. Who understands Google Drive and how to implement strategies and can help with graphic design elements. This is the first time ever that there's been a speck of hope as far as news goes, that maybe something can be done. So I love you guys. We're talking about OBDK. What he did was very wrong. Yes, I remember that. I remember it well. And I did not appreciate him being fired. But we have Don, and he's great. And I just hope you guys let him implement some things that he's already been doing.
Fine.
So.
Thank you. You want to come on?
Yeah,
come over here. Let me meet you down. Go ahead.
Hello, good evening. I came out here to talk a little bit about my experiences working with OBDK. They were certainly very positive. I haven't had the opportunity to work with Don or with Drew Domboni, although I've watched Drew Domboni's many accomplishments in the city for many years. I'd like to say that I feel like the environment for a work environment under OBDK was, for me, like a very rare opportunity in KPFT to see people really collaborating and to see people getting excited. I feel like he didn't have a chance to finish all that he was doing, so I'd like to see him have that chance. And I'm sure that the other candidates are also very qualified as well. That's all. Thanks.
Two more people on stack.
Board,
we're okay with five more minutes.
Sure. Did you say who that was? That's Nick Cooper?
Yes, I did.
Madam okay. Chair?
Adriana?
Said that we have at least 30 minutes.
Motion.
Okay, so is anyone against it?
Motion
okay.
Against
Eddie and then DJ Chill. Okay.
Hello, I'm Eddie, a long-time listener, member, volunteer, and then a staff of KPFT for 5 years, 2007-2012. And just want to reiterate what a lot of people have already mentioned about Dr. Jamal, is that he, as long as I've known him for several years, haven't heard any kind of controversy around him, and except for the firing and the procedures that were done to let him go. And just wanted to point out that if it had been pointed out before I came in, he, in the short time that he was there, he brought in a lot of money in innovative ways. And that's what a lot of people have been talking about for the station and the community, is they're tired of the long phone drives and how many times they have to have them per year. And there was a lot of people were pushing for that, to what are the ways that we can raise money? And he was doing that. I believe he raised several thousand dollars in less than 3 months that he was there. So. And also want to reemphasize how much he did bring the programmers together, because I still am in contact with a lot of the programmers, and he brought a lot of programmers together that had been separated, because what's happening here is very clear, clear to me since I was working there, is that there's a few people in this room and other people not here that are dividing up the community. It's pretty obvious. They're basically trying to destroy Pacifica and KPFT and wanting just to take it over in some other way. Either they're going to sell it or whatever, and maybe reinvent it, but without the community, basically. And so I saw Dr. Kamau bringing the community together, and a lot of morale was coming back to the programmers. And there was a lot of connection of the programmers. So I'll just stop there with that. But I also want to say that I do also know Mr. Drew Domboni and his awesome programming that he did on the station. I always enjoyed his the way that he would have, when he would present the facts, he would always back it up with documentation.
So, thank you. DJ Chung.
How you doing?
DJ Chill. I have a show on KPFT's called Dam Control. I've been doing it for about 16 years. And I want to apologize, you know, for not being able to come to any of the other meetings. I'm learning a lot being here about what's going on. So it's very informative. I've met this gentleman several times, Mr. Dr. here, and I appreciate everything you've done. And I also wanted to say I'm really liking what's going on for us right now with the technology and the reinvention of the studio. Because I've been, like I said, I've been here a long time, and I want to thank Don for coming in and actually being on our side to help us with our phone drives and help us on hand, you know what I'm saying, being able to communicate. Like I said, once again, I apologize for not being able to come any other time, and I should have been here. But I really, really enjoy being at KPFT. Everybody that I've brought there are excited about the radio station, and I appreciate everybody that's a part of the radio station. This is what's needed in Houston, and I thank y'all so much. And this gentleman right here, I know he caused a lot of problems, but the thing about it is, he's there. If someone needs help, I don't care if it's a cat stuck in a tree, he's gonna help him. And he has his problems, but you know everybody has a problem, man. You know what I'm saying? But he has a good heart. This gentleman has a good heart, done, and I know everybody in here wants to see KPFT grow. And thank y'all so much.
That's the end of public comment. Before we move on, it may not surprise y'all that this is my favorite part of the meeting. The past few months, it hasn't been full of your voices, and I really appreciate your voices being here tonight. I hope you come back. You make us better when you're here. I also hope that you go to KPFTX and the KPFT website to see other ways you can be involved in our committees and volunteering at the station. And I also hope that you take one of the KPFT Fall Writing Contest handouts that I made for you tonight to bring in and share in your communities. Finally, and I'm coming to you, but at 9:45, we do have an executive session, and that can be an awkward transition from public to executive session. So I just want to give you all a heads up that at 9:45, I'm going to ask you to leave. And so if you can just prepare for that transition, we appreciate that. We are moving on to the next item, which is the report from the executive director. So I'd like to welcome Mr. Maxie Jackson III, our current Pacifica executive director. Yeah, and you have 10 minutes. Use sure. Your time as you wish.
First and foremost, I'm honored to be here. I want to thank you for the warm welcome I've received in the short time I've been in Houston. I want to thank Don for his hospitality. He's taken good care of me while I've been at the station the last few days. I want to thank the staff. It was wonderful sitting down and meeting them one-on-one to understand what they think about the progress that's happening at the station. I want to thank members of the board who I've had the pleasure of sitting down with and having conversations with. I also want to thank you, Madam Chair, for running this meeting so smoothly. And I mean that. I mean, for those of you who are on the Pacifica National Board, you know they're not nearly as orderly as this, as chaotic as it may seem to some of you. So I appreciate that. I want to also acknowledge Dwayne Lark, Casey, for their work towards the hiring of a general manager. They've been instrumental in my understanding the candidates that have been forwarded. I've taken their advice, their counsel very seriously. And I will say that, and they know this, that the people that have been recommended are of the highest quality. They're men of great value and quality as individuals, as professionals. And so I don't think you could go wrong with the folks that have been offered up. One of the things I wanted to do in the 10 minutes that I'm given to talk to you is tell you a little bit about me, why I have been chosen as the executive director, I believe, and what I hope to deliver as the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation and in support of the work that you're doing here in Houston at KPFT. I've been in public media and in community radio for about 25 years. I'm 52 years old. I've spent a lot of time in this field. I've lived all over the country, from LA to New York and a whole lot of places in between. I've always been hired to either innovate something, to start something new, or correct something, to course correct things that have been put in place and that have run their course or not operating as well as they could. That's why often I've been selected for the positions that I've been in. I've been fortunate to develop national programming and local programming from scratch, using really sophisticated research methodology, creating program architecture, devising staffing, and launching programs. And so my expertise is in content. And I know that's something that many of you as programmers and people who listen to the station are deeply concerned about, interested in, and hope that in addition to national programming, we can sharpen the focus of what we do locally. So there's a few things I want to talk about in terms of things I believe in, philosophies I have, that should give you a better idea of who I am and what I should be bringing to the foundation and to, again, KPFT. First of all, there's three things you should know about me as a media professional. Number one, I'm a champion of public service. When I do work at a radio station or media operation, the first concern I have is public service. The second is I'm a deeply aligned person with the notion of best practices. I really am a stickler for employing best practices, and I'll get into that in just a second. Finally, I really truly am honored to serve in this role. Pacifica is aligned with me politically, culturally, and socially. There's a lot about what the progressive mandate of Pacifica speaks to that resonates with me deeply. When I interviewed, they asked me to identify who I was. I said, I'm an African-centered individual. That's where I draw my strength, which means that I'm naturally inclusive, right? And so that's who I am in that respect. To me, public service equals audience development. I look at audience development as a three-pronged approach. First and foremost, and I think this speaks to this notion of diversity, I respect the fact that Houston is the most diverse city in America. Strategic community engagement, to me, is the foundation of community radio. A lot of people confuse that with outreach. I'm not talking about outreach. I'm talking about deep-rooted, strategic community engagement. That means mapping the community. That means understanding who the progressive contingencies are and deeply understanding through ascertainment what their needs, wants, and aspirations are. Only then can you define programming. Programming is not public access to me. It's public service. So the first person to raise their hand is not necessarily the right person to do the show. It's about understanding what the community needs, building content that fits that, and finding people to host that. So that's a different approach, perhaps, than what you're accustomed to. It doesn't mean I don't value programmers. It means that my priority is public service. I also believe that if you do the strategic community engagement, that begets content development. If I deeply and richly understand the communities I serve, I can create content that better reflects and speaks to their needs. That's the only way that can be done. Lastly, if you do that work well, it should beget financial support. If I show an intimacy with you, and you feel like I'm truthfully revealing your needs, wants, and aspirations, I should be able to go to you during pledge drives and not only ask you for support, but perhaps as a volunteer to help me generate the revenue necessary to support this enterprise. I firmly believe that if we follow that approach, that this station can be well-heeled, as in financially solvent, that it can be supported in a way where you don't have to do month-long pledge drives, that you don't have to be begging, that you're making an appeal because people understand intrinsically the value you represent. Lastly, best practices. There are five areas that I firmly believe are optimal, that are necessary to develop an optimal community media organization. It starts with governance. We know that's the biggest challenge in the sector. Whether it's at the national level or the local, governance and fixing the irregularities and the problems we have with governance and the structure, whether it's our bylaws, whether it's the purpose of our LSBs, that's got to be number one. I think the fundamental question that every member of the LSB must ask themselves, and we must ask of them as citizens, is how do you serve? What do you bring to the table that is of value? Is it talent, time, or treasure? Talent, time, or treasure? Can you help us generate revenue? Can you reach in your pocket? Can you reach out to others who have deep pockets? Can you help fundraise? Treasure, talent, are you able to actually provide a skill set that is useful? We need legal minds. We need folks who are activists, who can gin up the activist community. We need folks who have the talent to engage with the community in a way that resonates on our signal and in the work that we do, engaging the community. Time. Do you devote time to the work that we're doing here? That, to me, is what an LSB should be about. If you can't answer those things, at least one of them, in the affirmative, I don't know what you're doing here. That same question has to be asked at the national level as well as the local. And unfortunately, as I've toured so far, when I ask that question of members of the LSBs I've been to, not everybody has an answer to that. So I put that out there because I think that's important. Four more things. Compliance. It's crucial that we do things right properly, that we don't take shortcuts in any of the official aspects of business that we are engaged in. It means being right with the FCC. It means being right with CPB so we can get the funding. We're missing out on millions of dollars a year because we haven't done audits, because we don't have proper public meetings. So compliance is crucial. I mentioned engagement. I won't go any further on that. Programming. And last, development. There are many ways to skin a cat, they said. There's certainly many ways to generate revenue. I said we have an opportunity to look at whether underwriting makes sense for us. The National Board has not made a decision as to whether they believe that should be the way we proceed. There are some stations in our network that don't believe underwriting is appropriate. And I said, that's fine. You all vote on that and make a decision. But if we don't go with underwriting, if we don't go for corporate support, we should be the number one organization in public media with respect to individual donor support. There should be no outfit in public service media that has mastered the art of individual and major donor support more than us. That's best practices. That's understanding what it takes to cultivate and inspire individual support. And so that's what I'm about. It's all about best practices. It's understanding that we have an opportunity to speak to the community in an intimate way that generates value, that forces a situation where we don't have to beg, that the support comes organically because people respect and appreciate what we bring to the table. So I'll leave it there. I'm certainly wanting to answer questions. I will resolve the animal, the elephant in the room, if you will. I know there were a lot of you who expected me to come here today and announce who I was going to select as the station manager. I'm not doing that today. And the reason I'm not is simply because we still have not checked off all the boxes, crossed the T's and dotted the I's on the EEO aspect of the search. Once that's completed, I will make a decision. I don't want to hold you up any longer than I have to. You deserve to have a general manager, a permanent one, that you can believe in, that you have asked me to consider. And I want to deliver that. But again, because I'm diehard about compliance, I'm going to make sure, particularly as a black man leading a national organization, that I'm doing things properly. So with that, questions, if you want me to answer questions.
We are at time. Can I make a suggestion? We have a rather large part of our agenda we dedicate, in my mind, not in the board's mind, to the PMB question and answer period. When Nancy Sorden came to visit, she participated in that circle. Would you be willing to do
it? I'm here all night.
So. Okay. Thank you. Is that okay with everyone? Okay. Thank you. I need to check in with you about Joseph. It's the governance standing and special rule review. Did you bring the text of that, or should we postpone it?
We should postpone it.
Okay. Are there any objections to postponing? It's a standing and special rule revision that Joseph needed to add some text to for us to go back and approve. Is that okay? All right. Moving on to standing and special committee reports. First is the CAB update. Is Tanuki Smith here?
Who?
Tanuki Smith?
No.
She left?
Not here.
Okay. So I'll give an update, and then maybe she'll come later. I know she was going to try to be here tonight. The CAB did meet this month, and they elected Tanuki Smith as their chair, and she is going to send us a report with her membership and with their qualifications for the CAB to make sure that they meet CPB requirements. So hopefully she comes to our meeting tonight. If not, hopefully we can approve the CAB at the next meeting. Next is COI report from Adriana.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will send the whole report because it's a really big report. I will send it to all the board members. I don't have enough. I hope that some of you can use one, and I have one question for the executive director, so that it's in that report. But basically, here are some of the maps. The COI, the Committee of Inclusion, is a special committee of the Pacifica Foundation. We have a specific article of the bylaw that talks about this, and it's the Article 8, Other Committees of the Board, Section 4, Committee of Inclusion, that said that there shall be established in each of the foundations and administration areas standing committees of the board to monitor the underrepresentation of communities in their respective radio station areas. Communities deemed to be underrepresented by the Committee of Inclusion will be identified, and the extent of their underrepresentation shall be communicated to the board, talking about the Pacific National Board, the respective LSV, and any local outreach committees. Station managers and appropriate LSV committees will be expected to consider these communities in their future decisions about the staffing, programming, and candidate outreach, subject to any applicable state and federal, local, and regulations. To fulfill the mandate, what the Committee of Inclusion did is four different things. The number one was assessment of the demographic statistics of the city of Houston, Galveston, and Huntsville areas served by KPFT. According to, we have only the 2010 census. We use those numbers. Number two was KPFT programming. Number three was KPFT LSV representation, but ethnicity and gender. Number four was identify the reasons for A, the KPFT radio station lost of this minority audience service station, MASS, denomination from the CPB. The drastic reduction of 53% of its membership from January 2005, that we have 10,262 members, to the August 2018, was 4,865 members, which shows a pattern that KPFT cannot sustain. You will find in the report the percentage of the demographic of the Houston population that in the census was
almost 2,100,000. Now we know that we have more than 10% over that. And you can see that the city of Houston have 43.8% Hispanic or Latino, 25.6% white alone, and 23.7% black or African American, 6% Asian. We have 50.2% males and 50.2 males, 49.8 females. Language other than English spoken at home, 46.3%. Under 40 years of age, 62%. Over 40 years of age, 38%. Then we have the ethnicity of the Houston super neighborhood. You will see it's attached there, the different super neighborhood, and you will have all the percentages. The super neighborhood is a, you know, it's the definition that are a small continuous communities that share the boundaries. We have the Harris County demographic population that is more than 4 million people, 41.8 Hispanic, 31.4 white alone, black of African American 19.5, Asian 7%. Languages all other than English spoken at home.
I'm not reading
the whole thing, Madam Chair. I'm just trying to show some numbers to the conclusion that I will go to the conclusion.
Okay.
Thank you. We have obviously Galveston, we have Hansfield, and then I asked for you to Okay. May I have a couple? Thank you. This is showing you one of the problems. KPFT program in ethnicity breakdown, 168 hours per week. We have 109 hours white, it means 65%. Until very recently, that was 77.7%. Black, 80%. Latino Hispanic, 6.5%. Asian, Middle Eastern, 5%. And various, including LGBT, 5%. The representation of ethnicity and gender in this board, we have 15 members that are white, 62.5%. 5 members that are black, 21%. 2 members Latino, 8.5%. 2 members Asian and Middle Eastern together, 8.5%. 14 males, 10 females. I will show you, this is the representation of the programming. I already read it, but you will have the map there showing you what is the programming of our station. If we need to understand why is the problem, here it is. This map, this more than the number, I read the number and you know, you listen to the number and go back and forth. But that show you our problem. I will not bore anybody else enough. I will read the conclusions of our work. On 2013, the CPB informed Pacifica Foundation Management that because KPFT was not serving their minority audience, its MASS denomination will be taken for us. Nothing was done, and KPFT lost that denomination, that means a bunch of money. You will have there the attachment that is attached to there that shows the communication from CPB. The reason for the contact loss of membership is the lack of reach to the communities which are supposed to be served by KPFT. It is imperative to assess inclusionary best practices and identify the barriers to inclusion, because for the potential of a city with more than 2 million inhabitants, KPFT membership of less than 5,000 people is almost unbelievable. The youth,
the immigrants, the non-commercial artists, the impoverished workers of wealthy corporations, the LGBT community, and the non-profit that share the social worries of the Pacifica Foundation are almost excluded from programming. KPFT must make a huge effort to reach those groups and those partners that were neglected for so long. Management, the LSV, the committees, the programmers, and the volunteers. Everyone has a role to play in this effort. It will be up to all of us to ensure that challenging conversations about diversity and inclusion are continuing to make real progress. If KPFT serves the community, it will increase listenership, and as a result, membership will increase also. KPFT must celebrate diversity. Inclusion, not exclusion, should be the motto for KPFT, Pacifica, our country, and the entire world. Thank you. I don't want you to believe that this is my word. This is the word of the Committee of Inclusion. We have Susie Moreno, we have PK McCurry, we have Nancy Saibara and Ari Tommy, and I'm forgetting somebody else, but we were doing a lot of months coming up with this report. And the numbers speak by themselves. That's why I don't think that I... You have the numbers there, and I hope that you can read it. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
We have...